Hello and welcome. Wherever you are in the world today, thank you for joining us for the Rise Traveler, unpacking conversations of sustainable travel. We are here to talk to eco-minded and socially conscious travelers, diversity and inclusion specialists, wildlife conservationists, environmental activists, and anyone using travel as a way to uplift and inspire. Together, we will go a step beyond the Instagram-ready world of travel and take a look at how travel can be a source of growth and development for all people in all communities. And now, here's your host, Amy Hager.
Today, I'm excited to have our senior advisor, Genevieve, with us. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Amy, for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
So as we were kind of leading into our conversation, what I love about my role here is I get a little bit of time to spend one-on-one with all of our senior advisors and all of our volunteers. And one thing that I learned about Genevieve today is she lives in an area that my family and I have visited, and I just love it. It's so beautiful. And so to have that personal connection with each other all across the world is just amazing. But one thing I didn't get a chance to ask you before that I'm very curious about is, why did you get involved with the Rise Travel Institute as a founding senior advisor?
Good question. So I was really lucky to actually have found one of my peers whom I met at a conference in New Zealand. Her name is Caitlin. She's also a senior advisor. She had posted about the Rise Travel Institute in its really early days, and she was explaining how excited she was to be a part of Rise Travel Institute. It piqued my curiosity right away, so I had a look, and I was really excited to see what the organization was about. Mm-hmm. I love sharing information and knowledge from an academic perspective, and I really felt like the organization's values aligned with mine. So I contacted Vinci to see how I could be involved.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for stepping up to the plate and volunteering and joining us. It's been so fun getting to know you and everybody. So share with our audience a little bit more about your background.
Yeah. So I am a travel professional. I work for an organization called Tourism Association of Canada. And I also founded a consulting company called Social Route Consulting. But before my professional life really took off, I really identify as a traveler first and a travel professional second. And I've been very lucky to have traveled 23 countries. And I started fairly young as a 19-year-old woman, exploring, you know, different destinations around the world. Mm-hmm. So had extensively traveled, I decided to merge the two and take on a career as a travel professional. And now I focus on Indigenous tourism, regenerative and sustainable tourism development.
Well, I want to dive in a little bit more. What are you up to right now? What's really lighting you up in your work?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much. I feel really passionate about so many things, especially around sustainability, mm-hmm. Whether it's gender equality, conservation, or supporting Indigenous people in their journey of creating Indigenous tourism experiences and products across Canada. That work is so rewarding. You know, we are in a pandemic right now, so that work has shifted a little bit. And right now we're just really working on ensuring those businesses stay alive so that people can come to Canada and experience the beauty of the nations across Canada.
Well, I have to ask you this because I feel like as I've learned more about this and especially just speaking with you earlier, you know, why is First Nations tourism just important to our industry and important to you?
Mm-hmm. That's a really powerful question and a really important one. In the Indigenous tourism industry, people often say that they were the first guides who came to Canada to explore the land. And I think that's a really accurate representation of Indigenous tourism from its origins. You know, they showed people the land, their cultures, their traditions. you know, how to cultivate the land. And I think now Indigenous tourism is a way to grow out of a colonial system, for example, and really highlights Indigenous people are decolonizing tourism as well and becoming empowered in being able to rejuvenate their stories and their traditions for youth, create jobs in their communities. And the important piece here is that it's with Indigenous people. It's Indigenous people leading their own travel sector. It's not non-Indigenous people talking about Indigenous.
That makes sense.
Or First Nations or Inuit people. And I think that's for Canada and as a model around the world.
That makes sense. And I think that, you know, you can tell it's something that you're very passionate about and something that you can really speak about from your soul. Tell me, has there been any moments in your travel that have really created that positive impact on maybe the area that you've been to or the people that you visited? Is there just something that jumps out in your mind when you think about being you, the traveler first?
Yeah, so I started my travels fairly young. And I mean, there's so many perspectives that I'd love to share and hopefully I have enough time or at least I can dabble into them. But my first solo travel experience was when I was 19 years old. Me and my best friend, we went to Europe for a couple months. And that experience alone, I mean, we were young and the purpose of that was really just to kind of spread our wings and learn what it feels like to be an individual in a different place where society and culture is so different. And then as I matured into my travels, I really realized that my motivations were changing, what I was interested in experiencing was really changing. And that led me to actually doing a field study in Western Africa and Ghana. And I would say that was probably the most impactful travel experience I have ever had. And that really shifted basic everything in my world. It was very transformational. So when we talk about transformational travel, I really understand what that means to my core. And what changed for me, or the experiences I had there, were a real shift around the privilege and responsibility as a traveler that we have and that we carry. And for me, that was a pivotal point in thinking about my behavior, the way I conduct myself in places, how I choose certain travel products. Are we exploiting the people, resources through certain travel products? And in Ghana, I realized that the connection to the land, the connection to the animals was so powerful, and the way that they wanted to share everything with us was really moving. And I cried several times during that experience, just being so, you know, emotionally drawn to the way that they live their lives. And so I would say that was probably my impactful. It was positive. I saw groups of families who were benefiting from travel and tourism. Mm-hmm. I saw the realities of, protecting certain areas for wildlife and how that affects community. And so I took a lot of those lessons home, and I constantly go back to that when I think about, first of all, when I choose to travel and how I, as a travel professional, am educating for tourism as well.
That's so beautiful. And I love, like, I can almost see you there and enjoying and having that emotion and having that experience. How long did you spend there?
So I was in Ghana for 5 weeks.
Okay.
And it was part of my undergrad studies, actually. So I was there with students and my professor from Vancouver Island University. And our objective was student study. So many students had been going there for several years, and we were measuring the impact and, like, the positive and the pros and the cons of a protected area. So the area that we were staying in was called Wei Chow, and it's a protected area for hippos. It's the last population of hippos in Western Africa. Uh-huh. And with that protected area comes some There are 17 communities along that protected area where traditionally they were, those are the hunting grounds. They cultivated the land, but because of the restrictions, they were facing some issues, but they were looking at tourism as a way to diversify their economy and to build in a model where they could still protect the hippos and have a quality of life that they wanted.
That's awesome. I love that you got to be a part of something like that. And, you know, the research and everything that goes into a big movement. Wow. That is amazing.
It changed me.
And so I want to think on the flip side, Genevieve, is there a time that maybe you didn't make as positive of a decision and while you were traveling in? Really explain to us kind of what you learned from that.
Mm-hmm. I have made so many mistakes, and I think, and I'm not shy, I guess, to share that because I think we definitely learn through mistakes. And as long as we continue to grow from them, that's what makes us stronger and more prepared to, I guess, share our expertise or our knowledge. And a few things that come to mind, one around wildlife tourism. When I was traveling through Southeast Asia, I definitely did partake in some of the wildlife excursions. And I grew up in a family that loves animals. I also come from a hunting family. So we had pets, I rode horses, my parents, they hunted. So I have a very deep connection to animals in many different ways. Mm-hmm. And when I was in Southeast Asia, I wanted to experience the beautiful animals that live there. So I did do some elephant rides, and right away I could, the ethics around it were very prevalent. Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side, I did visit a sanctuary where these rescued elephants live the rest of their days and not having to do tours. So I could see kind of the contrast there. And we ended up going to a snake show, and I won't go into the details of that one, but it was horrifying, the treatment of the wildlife. And mm-hmm. I was a contributor to that. I paid for it. I was sitting in the watching basically, snakes being tortured for pleasure. And it was because people don't understand snakes and people fear them. And there's a show all around that. So those are some of the mistakes I've made. And even just from, as like a female traveler perspective, and my first time going over to Europe, being a young traveler, not understanding certain safety, I think is a really important piece to my traveler growth. And that I definitely feel passionate about sharing, in the industry, and how we can make spaces more safe for female travelers, whether it's, two or solo. There's some mistakes I made there too.
Yeah. So as I know we have younger listeners here today, if you had to kind of reflect and think about what you have, what you've done, what you've experienced, if I was going to pack my bags and I'd never been anywhere, mm-hmm. give me a couple tips that you would suggest for pretending I'm a young female traveler.
Yeah, I think I think turning it into a practical application, I love to be spontaneous. My travel behavior is not to have a full itinerary when I go to a new place. And to me, that's kind of the magic of travel. And I still advocate for that kind of travel planning, I guess. But from a safety perspective, there were times that we didn't have any hostel or any, and we contemplated like sleeping on park benches. And I know, I feel like I often joke, if I had to redo my year of travel, I don't think I would have survived. But, it's small things like that, where if you still want to be spontaneous, still, look ahead a couple days and know where you're going to go. Travel is so different now. We have access to the internet and channels, so much more access than I did, 10, 15 years ago. But updating people, just being like, hey, I'm moving into this town or I'm crossing this border, is always, I think, something to recommend. And then in terms of, wildlife or other experiences, doing a little bit of pre-research is really effective. It's great, again, to be spontaneous and to just say yes to an experience or a product when you're in that destination, but it also helps to know who you're supporting. There's a lot of in-destination products you can buy, but they're not legit, or they're, you know, supporting not the best practices. So those would be my, I guess, recommendations.
That makes sense. And I think that's really kind of easy to follow, and just things that you got to think about before you go. And yeah, making sure that you may not want to have a plan, but at least being able to communicate and let people know where you're going is so important. I think the last thing that I really want to ask is, especially about your travels, and then we'll get to our closing question, which is always one of my favorites. Have you ever met anyone during your travels that has made an impact on you in a way that you never would have imagined when you first met this person?
So a few that come to mind, but I'll go back to Ghana, just because that experience was, like I said before, was transformational. And the one person that really, I guess, impacted me was a woman named Donna Shepherd, and she works for the Calgary Zoo. She lives in Ghana, or she was at the time. Yeah. And she, I believe her original background was studying primates, but there she was working on the hippo conservation, working on protecting the wildlife in partnership with Wei Chow and the community. And she was inspirational throughout the whole experience. She taught us what it was, what it meant to be in a place where the indigenous people of the land are leading the conservation efforts, and that it's important to have this balance between quality of life and protection. She taught us the importance of recognizing our colonial guilt and our role as researchers and as travelers in these experiences. And then just her personality. She was such a strong, independent woman who really, I guess, exemplified, you know, what it means to work in the industry contribute in a positive way while not being, I guess, like, you know, being a strong leader, but showing that she doesn't have to be in the center of or the forefront of this work, and that the importance comes from the locals and the knowledge there. And so that was really powerful to work alongside her, have her as a mentor during those, you know, 5 weeks. And I think of her often, and she's on my Facebook, so I still see the work that she does. And yeah.
I love that. Well, and it sounds like, again, like this is just, I think you picked the perfect stories to tell today. You can really see how, you know, passionate you are about all of it, but also the impact that it did and it has had on your life. And I'm sure it will continue to have an impact. So I want you to pretend that you have a crystal ball. All right. And let's take a look in it. And really, how do you see the future of the travel industry tomorrow, or even next year, or 10 years from now? Pick, what's your crystal ball telling you? Oh,
what a fun exercise to think about. I really hope, you know, the future of tourism is really about renewal and flourishing systems. Yeah. I think the industry, especially with the onset of this pandemic and the conversations that industry is having around regenerative tourism, I really hope that we see that change, and that the industry as a whole takes that on as their worldview, as the perspective in which we do business. And I mean, I love this industry so much, and I will, you know, fight for regenerative tourism and making that positive impact. But I do hope that, you know, we look at tourism from not just a marketing perspective, but from a really healthy, holistic management perspective. And I believe those progressive shifts are happening. I mean, that's why I'm so excited for Rise Travel Institute. I think that in its essence is what we embody here. Mm-hmm. And I really see the future of tourism being interconnected and addressing not just the issues we see in the tourism industry, but as a society and, you know, from an ecological perspective, cultural and social.
That makes a lot of sense. I like that crystal ball you're looking into.
Yeah, it's a nice one, I think.
Well, I want you to be reflective one last time for us today, and then I promise I'll let you go. So Genevieve, tell me, what legacy do you want to leave behind?
Legacy. Part of, I guess, a legacy that I'd like to leave behind is really with my work with Rise Travel Institute. I have the privilege of offering one of the course modules that students will be able to register for fairly soon, which is really exciting. Yes. But really just contributing in really dynamic ways. I don't have aspirations of being, you know, the one person who changes the travel industry, but, you know, being a contributor and an active one and a critical one. And that's what I hope to leave and share my experience and my knowledge in the most productive ways possible and that align with my passions and my interests.
I love that. We're so lucky to have you part of this community. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Amy.
Well, that brings us to the end of our journey today. And if you like what you've heard here, please subscribe to our podcast. Make sure that you can hear more. And if you would like to put a comment below or anything along those lines, we would love to hear from you. You can follow us at Rise Traveler on Facebook and on Instagram. But then on Twitter, we are Be a Rise Traveler. Here at the Rise Travel Institute, we believe that travel is a powerful tool for positive, transformative change. If you are a college student planning to study abroad, a young professional, you know, thinking about that gap year, or really anyone who is wanting to travel the world in a sustainable way, we do encourage you to head over to risetravelinstitute.org for more information on our educational courses. Like you had mentioned, they're coming. And we'll be back soon with another episode. But until then, keep roaming, keep learning, and continue to be a Rise Traveler. Thank you. Bye-bye.
This podcast is an extension of the Rise Travel Institute, a 501c3 nonprofit committed to empowering young travelers through educational programs, research, study tours, and scholarships. Visit risetravelinstitute.org to learn more.